Our second scripture for today is from the book of Revelation, chapter 12 in the NIV. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out from its mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to war, waging war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So I know you've had a lesson today about Labor Day. I came in on the end and edge of that. What is Labor Day celebrated for? Oh my, I figured I'd... For people who are working, you know, that's the best answer I would hear today, okay? That's the best answer. However, it actually became part of our culture in the United States in celebration of the things that were accomplished by the labor movement. The Industrial Revolution changed the face of work greatly. The demand for raw materials skyrocketed. And the demand for things that were produced, because now we had all of this wonderful technology and things could be done faster and cheaper than they ever had before, skyrocketed. And people who were working, who were laborers in our country during that time period, were not cared for very well. It wasn't unusual for the days of a work week to be Monday through Sunday and then back again, 60 hours or more a week. Wages were so low that it was almost impossible to keep body and soul together on a job that required that much time from you. There were dangers in the workplace, dangers that you were not protected from. In March of 1911, March 25th of 1911, as a matter of fact, in a building that was triangular in shape, you know, we have one of those in Parkersburg, right? On St. Mary's Avenue, we have a triangular-shaped building. This one was in the Greenwich Village area of Manhattan, New York. There was a factory, and this factory had 10 floors. And the top three floors of this factory were being used for the production of women's garments until tragedy struck. And on March 11th of this particular year, 1911, there was a fire. There were all kinds of pieces and scraps of fabric and material under a cutter's table, and that's where it started. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but fabric burns very quickly. And it spread quickly. And there was a mountain of fabric scraps under this cutter's table that hadn't been cleared away or swept up from for who knows how long. And it caught fire there. However, the exits to this area, and the stairwells from this area were locked. It was common practice. There were a few that escaped. There were in the neighborhood of almost a third of the 500-person workforce that were present there that day. And those who escaped found their way out windows and fell to their deaths. Others were killed by smoke inhalation or by burning to death. There was no way out for them. This large number of people, most of them Italian or Jewish immigrants who had come to this country for safety, legally, and many of them children. The oldest was a 44-year-old male, one of 24, and the youngest were 14-year-old girls. These are the things that the work movement, the labor movement, was working against. So now we can celebrate that there's an 8-hour work day, and if we have to work more than 8 hours a day, then chances are we might get overtime for that. So it's made worth our time. There's a minimum wage. Now that's low at the federal level, by the way, $7 and something. But West Virginia is a bit higher than that. So we go with West Virginia's minimum wage. Safety in the workplace is now mandated. So we have fire sprinklers in our buildings that are going to diminish the danger from fire. And there are exits that are posted. And you cannot be locked into a building to deal with those kinds of things. But you're provided with care when you labor for someone else in these kinds of situations. And all of these things have come by the efforts and care that has come by way of the labor movement. So yes, we do celebrate those who work in our country, who provide us with the standard of living that we have, all of the good things that we have to partake of. And we also need to remember that there was a time when there were deep costs, and that there were people who took a stand for the sake of the laborers in our country. Praise the Lord. This is good work. It's also a federal holiday. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to go against that. A federal holiday is significant because of some historical or cultural thing that we want to remember. That's not a bad thing. The Jews did that. They created Purim, P-U-R-I-M, as a celebration of the victory that was won because Esther was bold before the king and action was taken to keep their enemy from destroying the Jewish people. that an enemy had gotten from the king at that time. And Hanukkah is a celebration of an event that happened while the Maccabees were governing the Jews. Now, they weren't King of David lineage, but they held those roles at one time during that 400-year span between the exile and the coming of our Lord Jesus, 400-some years. And they had captured from the Assyrians and the Greeks the temple that had been desecrated by the Greeks and the Assyrians, and they purified it, and they were preparing for a dedication of it, but they only had a small jar of oil for a menorah in the temple that was supposed to be lit all the time because it represented the presence of God in the temple, the eternal and constant presence of God. So they used the oil, they filled the menorah, and miraculously, the light of the oil in the lamp lasted through 8 days until more oil could be prepared for it. So we call that the celebration of the lights. And these were civil holidays, not demanded or commanded by the scriptures, but constant presence of these things that had happened among the Jewish people. There's nothing wrong with that. This, however, does kind of throw a wrench into the works. There is not a calendar day of the year that does not have some kind of holiday celebration connected with it at some level. And when it becomes like that, what happens to the most valuable, even of our holy days? We need to be distinctive in our celebration. These scriptures that we have been listening to today tell us about laborers that are not laboring for things that are temporary. And because of that, we need also to remember these. This chapter of Revelation, chapter 12, to me, constantly draws me back to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Mother Mary in that story that we have in the Gospels constantly. And as I studied through this passage for this week, there is definitely justification for that. It begins with a great sign appearing in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. This is ancient symbolism for John to use of the Mother Mary, Mother of God. Mary, the Mother of God. This is symbolic of her from ancient times. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. And then another sign appeared in the heaven that was Satan. Or in some interpretations, that would be identified as Rome, having to do with the seven crowns and the 10 horns and the 7 heads coming together as prophecy about Rome. If we remember the story, as soon as Herod the Great discovered that there was a king of the Jews that had been born, he was out to destroy Jesus. He sent his troops out to destroy children of a certain age in order to be certain that Jesus would not survive, which forced the Holy Family to depart from Jerusalem and return into another land, which happens to be Egypt in this case. She gave birth to a son, a male child, and this male child is said to have been one who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, which is a prophecy about Jesus given in Psalm number 2. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Well, you know, the things that happen upon this earth, sometimes there are things that are happening in heaven. And Jesus went back and forth between the two to some degree because the Mount of Transformation was one of those moments. Jesus was protected by God the Father from what was going on upon the earth. And he also protected the Holy Family He sent them to Egypt. He sent Mary to a place where she would be safe for 1260 days, according to this scripture. Now, we are taught that Jesus was probably about 4 years old when he came back from being in Egypt. Well, that's maybe not quite the case. 1260 days, as it reflects here, would have been about 3.5 years as it was counted on the calendars used by the Jewish people at that period, at that point in time. And later on in this same passage, it talks about her being protected for time and times and a half time. 3.5 years, in other words. So, in all likelihood, Jesus was returning around the time that Jewish boys would begin their training, their schooling. She fled in the wilderness to this place where she was protected. And while this was happening in the life of people here on earth, these labors that this family was going through, this labor of God that was happening in the heavens, war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels of light did battle with Satan and the angels of darkness. And the earth shook, and the angels of darkness were defeated and were cast out of heaven to the earth. But the serpent continued to pursue Mary and Jesus throughout his lifetime, all the way to the cross. And this continues by telling us that as these things were happening, God was announcing that this is the Messiah. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, God calls the heavens to rejoice. Rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. He is angry at Mary, and he pursues the children of Mary, which, by the way, includes us. These are labors done for the kingdom of God. We labor for a different outcome. We labor not for the good things that we have in this life that are provided because we're part of this country by the laborers who are the producer of these good things. Those things are temporary. Now, let me adjust that a little, because teachers are working for an eternal glory, whether they realize it or not, to our children. And there are those connections that are one foot on the earth and one foot in heaven, you know, like the country song goes. And I can't remember the exact line. One foot over the line. There is some connection between the two, and we can find those connections from time to time. But we are called to an eternal labor. A labor that is for the kingdom of God. Jesus came upon this earth and he walked with human disciples who did not understand much of what we can look back at now and begin to understand, because Jesus walked among us, died for us, was given new life in the resurrection, stayed and taught the rest of what was needed to his disciples before departing to sit at the right hand of God. So we have more than they did when the scriptures were conceived by the story of Jesus, but that we begin to understand by way of the understanding they had when Jesus had been resurrected. And Jesus says to his disciples, you're going to weep. You are going to mourn, and this world is going to rejoice because you weep and you mourn. This is going to happen because I'm going to leave you. I'm going to be crucified, in other words. I'm going to leave you. And then, after a little while, your time of grief is going to be over and you'll rejoice again, and no one will take that joy away from you. It's the labor of Jesus to give joy that cannot be taken away, that our Savior lives. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. You will have the Holy Spirit then to help you to understand what I've taught you. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Does that fit any of us from time to time? Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And then he has a slight discussion with his disciples where they decide that now that Jesus is giving them this great information. They have another thing coming once he begins to teach them after the resurrection. Then Jesus' disciples said exactly that. Now you are speaking clearly and without figures. And Jesus says, so you believe now. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. And that was important for them to understand, because he would tell them that he was always with them. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. That great dragon from Revelation is still pursuing the faithful children of God. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And so we have a couple of things that we should bear in mind this Labor Day weekend. I know, this is like the halfway mark, right? 3-day weekend ends tomorrow. One of those things is to be aware and thankful for the unsung aspects of labor or work in our country. To give whatever we are able to give by way of blessing or encouragement to those who are working. To remember a smile goes a long way and a thank you goes a long way, most especially when it is said from the heart. And to lift other people up as much as possible, because we all need that. But also to remember that there is a labor of the love of God that God is working at, even now, for as long as it takes, and that he calls us to labor with him in. And that work is not temporary. It will not one day disappear. That work is for the kingdom of God and is eternal work. Happy Labor Day.